Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You, or as always, welcome if this is your first time tuning in to the podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth, and I am your host for today's solo episode. I wanted to dive into the structure of my days and more or less how I plan out my life and how I approach it. And one of the reasons why I decided to do a topic on this is because I feel like a lot of people, especially you girls and women, you guys have curiosity around how I approach my day-to-day, my week-to-week. And of course, I want to preface that my schedule does have a lot of different wiggle room because of my entrepreneur life and working for myself. And so I want to preface that I understand some of this could be harder to incorporate, but I do think that when you look at people's schedules and the way they create priorities in their life, and you just look at their calendar, you can really see why, or maybe rather, like, what are the gaps in where someone is and where they want to be. And I think that's something I do often, is I will look at my Google Calendar, which is a very easy tool to utilize to audit how my year is going. And maybe if I'm spending too much time in a certain place or area of my life where I shouldn't be, and so forth. And so this episode is definitely for those of you who are looking to restructure your week and restructure the way you approach your life, especially if you are also currently working full-time, whether that's remote, whether that's hybrid or in office. I think there are a lot of different nuggets here that I've kept very consistent even when I was working full-time in a sales job just a few years ago. And so I'm going to start off with planning and what that looks like. So like I alluded to earlier, Google Calendar is where I do everything. And some people, like my boyfriend, he actually uses Microsoft Outlook Calendar, and that's totally fine. I just love Google Calendar because it's just so much easier to incorporate into my emails, and also I love the color coordination. So for me, I customize everything. I wish I could actually show you guys a visual of this, and hopefully I'll be able to post this on Instagram. So check out and follow at What Fulfills You and at Emily E. Duong. But for me, I color coordinate with sky blue for fitness, lilac for podcast, red for anything urgent. I use like a beige tan color for anything life, and then green for work. And I actually use my own custom colors. So back in the day when I first started doing this in, like, I think senior year of college, I was using their basic colors. And if you just go into the settings, and you can probably just Google search this too, but just go into the settings of your Google Calendar, you can actually customize the color for the calendar. So here's the thing too, you actually have to create a calendar within your calendar, and that's how you actually get to color coordinate it. So for example, if I'm putting in my calendar, you know, from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, I have Pilates, I put that under the fitness calendar, and that still shows up in Emily Elizabeth's calendar, if that makes sense. Again, I would recommend, if you are really interested in this, just kind of do a little Google research on how to custom color coordinate your Google Calendar. But once you have that system in place, it is just so much more fun and seamless, because now anytime I'm putting things on my calendar, I'm not just putting in, okay, I have tennis from 7 to 9. It's like tennis from 7 to 9, and then it gets marked under my fitness calendar. And that way, when I'm looking at my upcoming week or my previous week, I can visually see, just from the colors, okay, how many times a week did I work out? How many times or how many hours did I spend on podcasting? Or how many urgent meetings did I have last week? How did that make me feel? You know, that for me is my process. And when I plan ahead, so let's say I'm planning for next week or the week after, usually I try to only plan like 1 week out when it comes to certain things, but usually the first thing I'm always planning ahead are my workouts. So that'll be, again, Pilates, tennis, long walks with friends or by myself, skating. That's, again, just a sport that I used to do, so now it's like a workout for me, and so forth. And that way it helps me figure out, okay, what days do I have flexibility to maybe catch up with a friend or get coffee or get dinner or whatever that looks like. And that way I'm ahead of the game versus, okay, come Monday, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this week and, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be on Wednesday, that kind of thing. I just like to be a little bit more organized, but also not too perfect as to, okay, between this time and this time, I'm here. And so when it comes to the planning and structure side, I plan my workouts in the early morning. That's just for me. Now, I'll add, when I worked in a corporate job and we had to be in the office by 8 a.m., I was not working out in the morning unless I was getting my ass up and being at the gym in my own apartment complex at, yeah, probably like latest at 5:45. Then I could do it. And I don't think at the time I had the motivation or ability to wake up that early and get to the gym that early. But that would be the case if I was working a full-time job where I had to be at the office by 8 a.m. I would be working out from like 5:45 to 6:30, give or take. And then I would give myself an hour to shower, get ready, you know, do my makeup, and eat breakfast. And then I would leave the last 30 minutes for buffer time to drive to work. And that's how I would structure it if I worked at 8 a.m. in an office. But I also, back then though, because I didn't work out in the morning, I would then work out after work. So I would usually be at a workout class somewhere around 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and that would still always be a priority for me. And so if health is a priority for you, that's where you got to figure out, number one, at what point in the day do I love working out the most? And number two, at what point in the day will I show up the best and most consistently? So for me, I like the morning because I don't have makeup on. I can just get up, get ready, like put on my workout clothes and get out the door. And then afterwards, I can start my day. Whereas some people, and sometimes I have FOMO, like after a workout, maybe I'll go to a juice shop or a coffee shop nearby, and I'll see people already dressed up and ready to go off to work. And it's literally, I don't know, like 8:30 a.m. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm still in workout clothes. I still got, you know, to eat breakfast. I still got to get ready, all of these things. But then I always remind myself, well, Emily, you work out in the morning because then you end up staying on your computer usually until like 6, 7, sometimes even 8 p.m., depends on the day. And most people are then doing what you did in the morning. They're either going to go to a workout or they're going to go to a dinner, and they're closing their laptops usually around 5 p.m. And each person has a different preference, so you just have to know what that is for you. And so going back to my personal structure, because I do work remotely for myself, and not technically remotely, I just depends on where I am that day and what's going on in my life. But I will start my workday around 11 a.m., give or take. And then, like I said, I'll usually end around 7 or 8 p.m. And I used to be so stuck, especially as an entrepreneur. I used to be so focused on the amount of hours I was working. And still, I struggle with this sometimes, but I realized I just need to focus on the output, right? Regardless of how many hours I'm putting in, are those hours being used effectively and efficiently? Is my time being productive? So that way, when I am making breakfast and listening to a business podcast, I don't feel bad as much anymore because I realize that these are things that I'm learning that help towards my business or gives me ideas for what I'm doing in my career. And so it's not a waste of time and I'm not dilly-dallying when I'm eating breakfast at, you know, 9:30 a.m. I am actually still being very mindful with my time. And then other part too, with, again, lifestyle in New York City and a lot of different metropolitan cities, although LA not so much, but New York and Miami for sure. People don't often really go out for dinner until starting at 8 p.m. And this is especially like on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. People do late dinners here. Like 8 is not early, but that's like, again, just the starting time. 7:30 is kind of on the early side for New York. And then I would say like the perfect sweet spot would usually be like 8:45 or a 9 p.m. reservation. Just being honest, that's how New York works. And so that works out for me because if I'm not wrapping up my things until 7:30-ish, then it is easier to go from that and then go to a dinner with a friend at like 8 or 8:30. So now I'm going to switch into specifically my morning routine. And this is going to be probably quite applicable even if you work in an office and you go in most days. If you don't really start until 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., you could probably implement a similar morning structure if this is something that you do want to adjust and maybe be more consistent in and just kind of putting yourself first. So like I said, I work out in the morning. And for me, that's usually somewhere between 6:30 and 8 a.m. So what does that mean? I am waking up usually somewhere between 6 and 6:30 every morning during the week. And then even Fridays, I'll sometimes sleep in a little bit more because I often just get so physically exhausted from all the workouts and sports that I do, which is a very great hack for getting good sleep, to be honest, because I will knock out like a baby and I sleep through the entire night and I just get such nice rest. But I'd say Friday, I'll usually wake up closer to like 7, 7:15, and then I'll do a workout a little bit later on a Friday. And then after working out, I will eat breakfast. And breakfast, you guys, is so important. If you guys have not listened to this episode with the founder of Functional Fueling, it's Lauren Papanos. I'm not sure if I'm saying her last name correctly, but it is a few episodes back from this one. I think it came out in sometime either end of June or I want to say sometime in June that episode came out, but it is so, so full of vital information for women, especially when it comes to dealing with PCOS, hormonal issues, hormones as a whole, understanding why protein is so important, how protein actually has a domino effect on women's health, and that includes fertility, all of the things. So since that conversation, I've actually been very, very mindful of how much protein I am intaking every morning and every day. And so for me, I'm usually cooking 3 to 4 eggs. That would be about 18 to 24 grams of protein. And ideally, from the research I've learned and also from these conversations I've had with people in this space, especially for women's health, it is ideal to be getting 30 grams of protein per meal. And so obviously the eggs will not be enough. So I'll try to get it through either like a protein bar or like a protein shake, something else that will really give me more protein. And what I've noticed is that it helps me feel full and actually quite literally fulfilled in my meal. And this was not the case, you guys, earlier this year and even last year. Like, there are days where I would just eat a bagel, or I would just get a bagel sandwich or whatever. And it's not like these things, like, for example, a bagel sandwich with eggs, is okay, that should be fine, although it's still gonna be like less clean ingredients. But I used to not pay attention to protein intake, and I've noticed that my hair has grown more thick again. And funny enough, my hairdresser actually made a comment about how thick and shiny my hair has looked, and he's never said this comment before, and I did not prompt him. I was just like sitting and reading, and he's like, by the way, your hair has been growing out so nicely. It's a lot thicker than it has been. It's actually really shiny. And I was like, oh really? And I'm like, when do you think you've noticed this? He's like, definitely in the recent months. And I was like, interesting. And then that's when I told him that, well, basically since May or April, I've been even more cognizant of how I'm eating and making sure I eat more protein because I wasn't getting enough, and also making sure I'm eating just the right foods and clean ingredients, of course, just to make sure I'm taking care of my health as a whole. So for those of you who live in New York, I highly recommend this little grocery store called Happier Grocery. It is the freaking bomb. It is pricey a little bit on certain things, and that's the thing that I hate about just how prices are today and how things can be more expensive to get than things used to be, and that is inflation for you, but that's besides the point. My point is, look, I recognize that we don't all have the privilege to spend a certain level of money on quality foods or quote unquote high quality foods. And I will say, for me, it is not something easy, but I have cut out a lot of spending in other areas that I know a lot of my own friends and peers still spend on that I don't, and I allocate that to anything health related. So the eggs that cost, you know, $9 for a dozen, but they're from like a high quality farm and, you know, whatever, I will pay for that. And here's the thing, like, I don't go leisurely drink. I don't buy wine and keep it in my fridge. I don't really randomly shop. And funny enough, as a side tangent, I actually often am selling a lot of the things in my closet on Poshmark to not only just make some money back, like it's like a couple hundred dollars here and there, and it adds up. Okay, so that's another thing. It's like, I just don't randomly spend money. I think most of my money tends to go towards the things in my home because my home space is where I spend a lot of time. Travel, of course, but then again, number one would just be my health. I'm just not going to take shortcuts when it comes to the foods that I eat and how I'm eating. Sorry, went on a tangent there. But then anyways, if it's not Happier Grocery, I will also go to like farmers markets, things like that. I just love supporting small businesses as well and supporting farmers. Funny fact, there's actually a lot of farmers that are from my hometown in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, which is basically like the Amish capital of America. So there's a lot of farmland. There's a lot of just that within Pennsylvania. And so I love supporting them as well when I see them at the different farmers markets in New York. And then, of course, other ways I'm taking care of myself for breakfast: green juice or an orange juice, like with turmeric and carrots and things like that. Just good for the eyes. Lots of water, usually with lemon. And then after breakfast, I will do the dishes, clean my apartment, just tidy it up, make my bed, and then I shower and get ready. And that's what takes me to, I usually am ready by 11 a.m., sometimes even earlier, like 10:30. Because let's say if I did a workout from like 7:30 to 8:30, then I'm eating breakfast from like, you know, eating breakfast, cleaning, doing the dishes, making my bed from like 8:30 to 9:30, you know, and then from there, shower, depends if I'm washing my hair that day, but then it's like shower, get ready. So that often also takes, usually another 45 minutes. Yeah, but I try to be fast, you know. I think as a girl, I hate how long it can take to get ready, so I just try to be quick and select only certain days if I really need to wear makeup. Okay, so switching gears to evening routine. This one is very simple and again, very applicable for most of the weeknights. I will wind down starting around 9 p.m., sometimes 10 p.m., though it just depends on the night. Again, a theme you'll hear in the way I structure my day, my week, my life. Compared to other entrepreneurs, I think I'm less anal about the way I structure my life compared to them. And it's because, like, for example, my boyfriend, he definitely needs to start winding down sharp at 9 p.m., whereas I'm a little bit more flexible. And that's just because that's how I am. Some nights I, like, for example, last night I came back from pickleball. I'm in this little like tournament right now that's happening every Wednesday from like 7 to 9 p.m. And I take this ferry back where I don't get back to my apartment until like 9:50, right? So obviously I'm winding down a little bit later, and that's just, you know, it is what it is. So how I wind down though, straight to the point, I take off my makeup if needed. I do my skincare routine. This is so important to me. Again, just the way I take care of myself, both skin and food and makeup and ingredients, all of that, it just adds up. It compounds over time. So, you know, if you're one of those girls that are like kind of interested in that, slowly get into it. And for me, I didn't really get into the way I do things right now, probably not until the recent year. Okay, so some things are just a small buildup. Like I've always been like a sports girl, and I always did workouts. Okay, that was there, but then one tier up was being better at my skincare routine. One tier up was watching the ingredients I was eating, you know, all of that. And then if I'm still not tired, I will read a fiction book, usually one of the heavier books that I don't carry around. So that'll often be a Russian literature book. Unfortunately, I am still reading Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy, which is that famous Russian literature book that is hefty as fuck. But that's one that I'm currently reading before bed. And then I will often fall asleep within 10 minutes because I'm so physically tired. So that's just my evening routine. Do I scroll my phone sometimes? 100 fucking percent. So I just want to make sure that's clear that, you know, I'm not perfect by any means either. And again, I don't strive for perfection, but I strive for consistency. But the thing with phones though is I fall asleep very fast, and it at this point in my life, it does not affect my sleep if I'm on my phone, but it will, I think, affect my eyesight over time. And I got LASIK eye surgery a couple years ago in 2020. And I think that it's already wearing down a little bit, which is kind of sad and concerning. So I've been just trying to be more mindful on that by not looking at my phone when it's really dark and like when I don't need to be staring at the screen, all of that. So that's my evening routine. All right, lastly, I want to dive into tips and insights for you to create a better structure. And some of you guys, and for some of you guys, you might have already been taking notes or maybe thought of some ideas of how you could kind of restructure your life more just so you can more or less feel like you got your shit together. But just so I can be a little bit more straightforward on how I would help someone adjust, number one is just remembering that, again, not everything has to be a precise routine, especially if you are not designed like that. For example, again, my boyfriend, another friend of mine who she's also an entrepreneur, I know they both wake up at like 5:30 a.m. and, you know, they get their day going like that, and they get into work by like 8 or 9 a.m. like sharp, even as entrepreneurs, right? Like that's how they go. And that just for me is not the way it works for me. But what I do focus on is doing everything in chunks of time frame, right? So I really cut off my morning in terms of, all right, switch gears from finishing off your morning routine, whatever, and switching into workflow. For me, the latest at 11 a.m. Ideally, I would love to do it sooner. Like, I wish I was starting my workflow closer to 10 a.m., but sometimes it's just unfortunate. Like, it depends. But maybe I could work out earlier, but I just think as a girl, it depends. If I have to spend time getting ready that morning, it just takes longer time. Or if I wash my hair, then, you know, there's I'm drying my hair, then, you know, I might be styling it. And even though I do those things very fast, all of those little things will then still add up to 1 hour. So chunks of time frames for me, that's 6:30 to 8 a.m., workout, get that shit done, breakfast, clean my apartment, you know, do my dishes, get the space clear. That is for 1 hour after breakfast. And then after that is another 45 minutes or so to get ready for the day. Something to keep in mind is that your schedule is an indicator of your top priorities. So for me, if you can't tell, my top priority is health, and that's mental, physical, emotional, all of it. So the first thing I do in the morning, nearly every single day, is a workout, right? Again, I know if you work at an office where you start work at 7 or 8 a.m., which is crazy, but I know, again, I used to be in that position, then it's hard to do that unless you're waking up at a stupid early time. But if that's the case, you probably would then, if I were you at least, I would be putting those workouts, I'd be scheduling my workout classes for 5:30 or 6 p.m. after work, and I'd be making sure that it's booked, locked in, and that I can attend those workout classes. My other priorities, obviously, are connection and relationships. So how that shows up in my schedule is that you will see I will be mindful in making time to see my friends in the evenings as much as I can, especially on evenings like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't wait just for the weekends, but that could even be like a walk after work, or that could be like a, hey, let's get maybe happy hour, or let's get like an ice cream because right now it's summer, you know. That doesn't mean like we're going to eat like at a sit down dinner, but that's something that I enjoy about the lifestyle in New York. So that usually is my preference. And I'm very fortunate to be a lifestyle content creator where at times I get to go to restaurants for free and create content for them in exchange for a complimentary experience. So, you know, if you're seeing that on my social media, I'm being very transparent. Like, that's how I'm able to live my life this way, because I've been able to max out all the different areas of my life, especially work related, so that, you know, it doesn't have to cost a lot to do some of these things. And hey, again, it's just kind of like figuring out what works for you, because if I worked in finance or law and was making at least, you know, minimum like $300,000 a year, like here they, some people do in New York, then yeah, like obviously I wouldn't have time to be a content creator probably. And I would just also have a lot of disposable income to be able to afford to eat out whenever I want, you know? So again, just depends on what your situation is. Other tips I have is around creating boundaries for yourself. So for example, if you signed up for a 7:30 a.m. workout class, then you got to make sure you say no to the evening events or the possible events the night before, or else you'll hate the class because you're going to be too sleepy, or you'll have lack of energy, or it just will be like you'll feel grumpy in the morning if you have to go to it. And part of it is just because it's your fault, right? It's your fault for saying yes to things that you probably should have said no to. Even if it's something as minor as a friend's like, hey, do you just want to come over and hang out at my apartment? Like I said, I prioritize relationships, but, you know, I would probably restructure it so that, number one, I wouldn't be seeing my friends so last minute to the point that it digs into my sleep schedule. But number two, at that point, I would probably just be like, hey, okay, so tonight won't work, but let's do tomorrow. And can we do it a little earlier? Maybe like, let's go grab a bite around 7:30 or 8 o'clock. You know what I mean? So that's just one boundary that some people might often skip over. Another important boundary, this is very important, especially if you notice that you struggle with having your own independence, like actually implementing it for yourself, and or if you are in a relationship or you live with a significant other, you need to find and create solo time, okay? You need to connect with yourself and find a way to have solitude. There are so many girls I've seen, and mind you, I've lived through my 20s now, so I've seen it over and over again for fair reasons, but a lot of people struggle with being on their own. And when I say people, I'm going to specifically talk about women, okay? And it is a gradual process. I did not start solo traveling. Well, I should rephrase that. I started solo traveling my senior year of college because I was curious, because I had learned my lesson very early on in life when, or if and when, I don't create time for just Emily and learn how to be comfortable in being on my own. I learned that because of a very first breakup in life and, you know, took that lesson at the age of 20 and started to work on myself. And then by the time I was 21, I was like, okay, let me try something different. Let me try something that's kind of daunting, you know? So solo travel does not have to be your solo time, but that could mean going to a coffee shop on your own. That could mean going on a long walk by yourself. Like I've done this several times in New York. I'll walk the West Side Highway. I'll walk around Central Park. I did this in LA. I would go and drive to like a hiking spot. I'd go by myself, right? These are small ways you can connect with yourself. I'd go to a little park in Marina del Rey near where I used to live, and I would bring a book, grab breakfast, and eat and read my book by myself in the morning. That is so vital to you as a person, as an individual, but also for you to slowly build the confidence that you want and need for the rest of your life. This will come in handy. And I think just in general, the importance of being comfortable in your own space and independence, because so many people struggle with this, especially when you're in a relationship. It's so easy to be very codependent. But a great example of this, funny enough, is a friend of mine. He told me, interestingly, how his cousin, even though she's married, her and her husband partner, they've agreed that every Sunday they will sleep in separate beds. And for some people, that's really fucking taboo, right? When I heard that, I didn't judge it at all. And I just, even my friend, I think he was probably thinking like, that was probably weird when he first heard it, but now that he's older, he understands like everyone's got their own way of creating the individual space that they need. You are an individual, okay? If you have roommates, you do not need to be attached to them. You do not need to do every single thing with them. You do not need to do every single thing with your boyfriend or your significant other, okay? In fact, it's just night and day, very obvious to be unhealthy for you as a person. And there's probably, I don't know if I would do the whole sleeping in separate beds thing, maybe, because for example, even the founder of SLT Pilates, who was on this podcast before, on our episode, she actually specifically shared that her and her husband's, or partner rather, because they're technically not married, but they've been together on and off for 20 years, her and her partner sleep in separate beds because she has a very specific way that she wants to sleep, the temperature, all of it, and to each their own. You have to figure out what works for you. And of course, these are people that are older with more experience, and maybe they don't see it as taboo because they've been through the ringer, and maybe you're listening right now and, you know, you're like, what the fuck? That's so weird, you know? But just kind of like be open-minded and recognize that these things are actually healthy boundaries, I guess you could say, to actually help prolong, in this context, a long-term marriage or relationship. Again, I don't know if I would do the separate bed thing, but for sure, and it's something I'm already doing in my relationship, which is that, I mean, this is just kind of inevitable because of location, but right now we live in two different cities. And so we go, depends on the time of year and what's going on in our life, but it could be 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and up to 1 month apart. Usually on average, it averages out at like two weeks or so, which is actually not that bad because we're both entrepreneurs and we're busy, and you know, he's found it obviously as well quite healthy and has seen that side of it. But for me, I've always been very adamant about this since my first college relationship, because I learned so much then about
the importance of keeping Emily as an individual going. And that means filling my own cup. I use this term all the time. And just a tangent as I'm talking about this too, I remember my college boyfriend when he first broke up with me before we got back together like 8 months later. But he broke up with me, and I remember he told me, you know, Emily, go find some things for you to focus on, like maybe go back to skating, like just like he was telling me, like go do something for yourself and don't put too much emphasis on this relationship, because clearly I was shattered, you know. But it was true, like all my energy was around this relationship. I barely hung out with my girlfriends, and you know, I just felt like I lost so much of Emily at that time. But such an important lesson for me and important experience for me to go through. And that one was one of the hardest experiences mentally and emotionally that I've ever been through. And it was at such a young age that I'm very grateful that I experienced it at such a young age, because this is why I'm able to speak about these things right now and also approach new relationships afterwards with a healthier mindset, healthier approach. And, you know, the more I've talked to people who have gone through, unfortunately, like breakups or maybe even divorces, things like that, when I talk about this with them, they all say, this is from females, they all have said the same thing around like, that is so true. That is so important. And they'll often talk about wishing that they knew this earlier on when it comes to just filling their own cup without their partner or without a significant other. And then last but not least, create consistency in your schedule, not perfection. So for me, consistency looks like, okay, every single week I've got 5 workouts in my calendar every week. It's non-negotiable. Monday through Thursday is typically pretty non-negotiable. And so what that means for me is that Monday night through Wednesday night, or rather like Sunday through Wednesday night, I'm not doing anything that would disrupt my ability to wake up at a normal time and go do my workout with a good energy, right? So this ensures that my priorities on health are not disrupted. And then the other side of the coin is that Friday through Sunday is obviously more flexible. Again, I am not perfect. I'm not trying to be a robot. So what that could look like for me is that might mean that I'm not pre-scheduling my workouts as much in advance. Or maybe, like I said earlier, on a Friday, I'll go work out later. That could be like 8 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. And that's okay. I gave myself that flexibility and space so that I am not constantly overworking myself or overdoing something or creating so much structure that I don't feel like myself, you know, like I feel like I'm following like a regimen that just isn't working. So I give myself that flexibility, but I make sure that I'm consistent, because if you're inconsistent in your schedule, you're not gonna feel very, I think, at peace would be the best way to put it. So finding a schedule and a routine where you can keep consistent would be my best piece of tip, because not everyone is gonna want or be able to work out as much as I do, you know? And I don't think if you're right now, if you're doing it 2 times a week, going to 5 times a week is not healthy and probably not practical. But if it's something that you want to increase, if you talk about health focused lifestyle, then maybe, yeah, bump it up from 2 times a week to 3 times a week, or 3 times a week to 4 times a week. Okay. And then making that consistent. So scheduling it ahead, putting it in your calendar, color coordinating it so you can visually see, okay, so right now I only have 3 for next week. Where can I squeeze in a fourth one? So that was all for today's episode on how I structure my days, my morning and evening routines, and more tips and insights for you on how you can apply similar approaches to your own life. If this was helpful, as always, it means a lot if you would send me a little message on Instagram at whatfulfillsyou or at Emily E. Duong. Thank you, and shout out to the girl that recently sent me a sweet message on my latest episode. And she actually mentioned that she's in her 30s. And I actually know that there are quite a few of you that listen to this podcast who are in your 30s. And so I recognize that I'm going to shift away from framing these
insights or tips for women in your 20s? Although, of course, I know a lot of you guys are also in your 20s and often maybe the same age as me or a little bit younger. And I know that there's a wide range of you guys, but nonetheless, the messages, the ratings of the podcast, they mean a lot. I notice it all the time and I love chatting with you guys in my DMs. So don't be a stranger. And that is all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will chat with you all in the next one.